Please, to 1 John chapter 2. We're going to be skipping over 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 through 14, because I had preached on those a couple months ago already. So we're going to skip over those. And if, like 1 John 1, 5 through 10, that sermon should be on the website as well, if you so desire to listen to it again as we're working our way through 1 John. I'd like to simply remind you of what I talked about in that sermon. John, once again, his goal was to assure his sheep of their salvation. It's the main theme of this book, and it's what he's driving at consistently. And in that section of verses 12 through 14, he reminds his sheep who they are. Who gives them the assurance of salvation by simply reminding them of the gospel in its many facets. He reminds them that their sins have been forgiven for the sake of Christ. And because of that, they know the Father. He reminds them that they know Jesus personally. They know him who has been from the beginning. And that they have overcome the evil one because of what Jesus has done in their lives and on the cross. And so he reminds them and he reminds us who we are, how we've been saved by the power of the gospel, and that we can be assured because the gospel is strong. Jesus is strong. And because of who we are, John moves on in our text tonight to describe what we shouldn't love. So because of who we are, John moves to describe what we shouldn't love. And he points out that since you will live through eternity, you should then live for and love the one who lasts. Since you will live through eternity, you should live for and love the one who lasts. So let's look at our passage this evening, 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Hear now the word of the Lord. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Well, John begins this section by speaking very clearly, very bluntly, about what we shouldn't love. He begins in verse 15 by saying, "Do not love the world or the things in the world." This seems like a striking statement, especially if you're anything like me. When John says, do not love the world, the first thing I thought of was John 3:16. For God so loved the world. And John's telling us, do not love the world. So wait a minute, John, I thought we were supposed to be like God. I thought we were supposed to love like God. And now you're telling us not to love the world? What's going on here? Well, this is a very good example as to why we need to let the context of a particular passage define the words that are used in the passage. We always need to let the context define the way a word is used in a particular passage. You see, John uses the word world in three different ways throughout his writing. The word world, or in Greek, cosmos, is, like I said, used three different ways. The first way John uses the word world is to refer to the created physical existence of things. He uses that in the Gospel of John chapter 1 when he talks about the world being created through and by Jesus Christ. It's the heavens and the earth, the physical existence in which we live. The second way in which John uses the word world is to refer to mankind in general. And I think that's the way we need to understand John 3:16. You see, Jesus was speaking to the Jewish Nicodemus. And Nicodemus, like many of the other Jews, believed that God had a particular love and, in fact, only really loved the ethnic people of Israel, the Jewish race. And Jesus says to them, but God so loved the world, Nicodemus. He loves more than just the Jews. He loves the Gentiles as well. He loves the whole world. And this is how John uses the term world in 1 John 2:2, which we had covered already, when he says that Jesus Christ is not only the propitiation for our sins, but the sins of the whole world. And I said he's referring to men from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation, the mankind in general. And the third way in which John uses the word world or cosmos is the way he uses it here in the text, to refer to that realm of rebellion, that realm of evil and wickedness of fallen mankind, that the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of Satan, that which is in opposition to God. We can understand the way John uses that word whenever we use that word in a similar fashion. Sometimes we talk about worldly people or doing worldly things. And what we have in mind when we say things like that is people who are living in opposition to God's will and God's word and God's law. People who are concerned and caught up with the things of this world and not the things of God. Not doing what God desires. So John gives us three ways as we go through our text this evening, three reasons why we shouldn't love the world. He gives us three reasons why we shouldn't love the world. And the first reason is that the things of this world are contrary to God and are not from Him. Things of this world are contrary to God and not from Him. We see that in verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. These things of the world do not find their origin in God. They find their origin in this wicked and evil realm, which John refers to as the world. And he gives us three examples of the things of the world. And this isn't an exhaustive list. He gives us three examples. He says the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So we'll look at each one of these. The first is the lust of the flesh. Now, whenever we talk about lust, we need to be careful about how we go about defining that. In our day today, the word lust has taken on a very narrow definition to mean strictly sexual desire. But during the time this was written and the word used in Greek, it encompasses much more than that. It simply refers to passions or desires in general. So it's much broader than what we've come to understand it. So we would read it's the passions or desires of the flesh. And likewise, we need to understand the term flesh as well. Once again, it's not simply sexual things, but it's more than that. It's everything that brings us physical pleasure, the things that are derived from the body that we seek to find pleasure for our bodies. So the lust of the flesh means desires which come from our body, and they're out of control appetites for pleasure. These are out of control appetites for pleasure. Once again, they're not limited to sexual desires, but can include such things as gluttony, the desire to continue to eat more and more to gorge yourself. They refer to things like sloth as well, laziness, a desire to overindulge in the area of resting. We need to understand that these desires originally were not bad. These desires for sexual fulfillment and for food and for rest, they do come from our bodies. And so this would lead some, and eventually did lead some, to believe that their bodies were evil because these desires flowed from them and they were taking people captive and seemingly driving them to fulfill these desires against their own wills. And so people began to think, like Augustine did for a short time, that the body was evil. But he soon and quickly learned that that wasn't the case. God had created all things very good, and he created our desires good as well. And yet sin has corrupted them. The things that are not from God has corrupted what God has made good. That which is not of God has corrupted our bodies and our desires to the point that they function and crave that which is contrary to God. And so we shouldn't love them. John's call is do not love these out of control desires. So whenever you find yourself sitting in front of the computer screen, and that ad pops up, or you're flipping through the channels on TV and you come across a sensual program, or you're driving down the highway and you see a billboard, an Abercrombie and Fitch billboard perhaps, and your heart begins to race within you. Don't love the world. Don't love the lust of the flesh. Do not indulge the lust of the flesh in that way, but resist it. Do not love it. Or whenever you've just eaten a fine meal and your taste buds are screaming out for more food, another plate, but you're content. You know you shouldn't have another, but all you want to do is eat more. Do not love the world. Do not indulge the lust of the flesh. Or when your alarm clock is going off in the morning and it feels like there's an elephant sitting on you and all you want to do is hit that snooze button one more time. Or you have work to do and you think to yourself, well, you know, I can just do that tomorrow. I'll have time. And then tomorrow comes and you say, well, I can just do that tomorrow. And before you know it, you're up against it. Do not love the world. Do not indulge in those things. None of these things are from God. That's what John's pointing out to us. These things are not from God. Do not love them. But instead, pray to the Spirit that He would cause the fruit of self-control to blossom in your life. Self-control is that virtue which can have dominion over these desires of the flesh. Now, Paul tells us that we shouldn't let sin reign in our mortal bodies. We can now have dominion over the passions of our bodies because Christ now lives within us. The Spirit of God lives within us. And greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. So pray that God would give you the strength, the self-control to battle against the lusts of the flesh. Secondly, John points out the lust of the eyes. John has in mind here covetousness, desiring things with our eyes, wanting things we don't or cannot have. It's the desire to always have the next best thing, the new car, or the new phone, or the new home. The desire is often directed at others around us. It's what fuels the phrase, keeping up with the Joneses. Sorry. When we love the world in this way, we end up pursuing it more than God. And this is how it's contrary to Him. And it's not from Him, because God would not have us pursue anything more than Himself. Jesus calls us to seek His kingdom and His righteousness before all other things. Loving the world by indulging the lust of the eyes will only bring discontentment. So pray that God would teach you to be content in all situations and circumstances. Pray that you would see the abundant prosperity that you have because you've gained the Lord Jesus Christ. And seeing that, seeing what you have in Him will put everything else in perspective. So think less about what you do not have and think more about what you do have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you're His children, you have a great inheritance. You're co-heirs with Christ of the kingdom of God. You have all that you'll ever need, and those things will last for all eternity. So do not love the world. Do not desire the things in the world, because they will pass away. And we'll see that how that happens later. But the third thing that John points out here, that the desires of the world or the things of the world, is the pride of life. The word behind the term pride is one which means arrogance or pretension or boasting. And the word John uses for life is a different one than what he commonly uses. The word he uses here refers to a person's status or his possessions in this life, what he's accomplished. What John has in mind here is a concern about what you have or about your position in life. Being overly concerned about the opinions of other people. And some people can get so wrapped up in what they have or what they do and what they wear because they're too concerned about what other people think about them. And if they have more than others, then they can look down on other people. But if they have less than others, then they feel judged by other people and inadequate. But this is not of God, because it rejects God's assessment of your value and instead replaces it with the estimation of others. And John doesn't want you to love the world in this way because it causes you to be obsessed with who you are in the sight of men instead of being fixated on who you are in the sight of God. So we shouldn't love the world in this way because we end up caring more about what men think than about what God thinks about us. So don't indulge this aspect of the world. Do not love the world in this way. So we need to ask the question of ourselves, what value do we place on these desires and pursuits and possessions? What place do they have in our lives? Because the more time and effort and thought you give to them, the less time and effort and thought you give to God, because they are not from Him. but they're from the world. So John's simply saying, do not love them, because they are not from God. And the second reason John gives for why we shouldn't love the world is that these things are passing away. These things won't last. We see this in the first part of verse 17. John says simply, and the world is passing away, and the lust of it. John, in saying this, reminds us that the world is only temporary, that it's this world in which we live is wasting away. Peter Barnes, in his commentary in 1 John, acknowledges that beauty fades away after only a couple decades. Wealth is uncertain. Fame is short-lived. Popularity is always precarious. He goes on to say that it's not just failures in this life that end up disappointing us, but even successes can never fully satisfy. He says that our age is dominated by pop music, show business, fashion, and sport. These are sure signs of its decay, he says. We come into this world with nothing, and we shall leave this world with nothing. This should provide us with a Christian perspective. So why give your heart to something that will not last, he asks. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. This world is, as Bunyan said, the city of destruction. It's the city that will be wiped away. How many of you like the beach? There's quite a few of you like the beach. Danielle loves the beach. If she could, she would live on the beach and not come home. She'd like to make her home the beach. So I'd like you to imagine building your house on the beach, because that's where you want to live and be all the time. But instead of building a normal house, you decide to build and spend your whole day constructing and forming and creating a house made of sand sitting right on the beach, like an oversized sand castle. And after you build it, you furnish it with the nicest things, the expensive furniture, fine art, big screen TV. And then you settle in for the evening to eat your TV dinner and watch your favorite television show or movie. And then as the night wears on, you realize your feet begin to get a little bit wet. And you're wondering what's going on. Then you realize the tide's coming in. And in a matter of hours, everything that you've labored for in that day, all of your possessions, everything that you own, is washed out to sea. This is what it is to love the world. It's passing away. It will not last. To love this world is to be like the foolish man who not only builds his house on the sand, but builds his house out of sand. So where are you spending your time and your talents and your treasures? Are you storing up for yourselves things on this earth where moth and rust destroy? Are you storing up things for yourself in heaven? Because one day Jesus will return in glory. The day of the Lord will come, as Peter says, as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. So once again, do not love the world, because the world and its desires, they're passing away. Well, the third reason John gives as to why we should not love the world is because that's not who you are anymore. The last two points you have on the outline are summed up in this third reason that John gives. And we can see that in the second half of both verses 15 and 17. Second half of 15. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Those who do not love the world, or those who love the world, do not love God. John just spent verses 12 through 14 reminding his readers of who they are, reminding them that they're children of God, that they belong to Jesus Christ, that they're true believers. And he tells them that they shouldn't love the world because it's incompatible with loving the Father. They shouldn't love the world because that's not who they are. They're ones who love the Father. To love the world is inconsistent with loving God. The two things don't go together. Like I said, they're incompatible. Like oil and water don't mix. Your love for God does not mix with love for the world. Because the two things, the two loves, drive and go in opposite directions. We've been talking about how the world and its desires are not from God. And the world and its desires will pass away. And these things are completely opposite to God because that's not who God is. God and His being will last forever. Everything that comes from Him is good and will last and remain forever. God will remain into eternity. And so we are not as those who are unbelievers who will pass away because they're walking into a world and in a world that's going to pass away. But we're children of God. We're ones who will remain forever. We're moving in a Godward direction towards being with Him in glory. And so John's call to his people is not to walk like this. Not walk backwards as you're going towards God, being one who is of God, but yet is fixated on the world and loving the world. His call to his people is to love God and not the world. To walk and follow after Him, to do the will of God. That's what defines those who love Him. That's what characterizes those who love Him. That's just what Jesus says. Those who love me are those who keep my commandments. So brothers and sisters, do not love the world. Do not love the world because the things in it are not from God. Do not love the world because the world and its desires are passing away. And do not love the world because that's not who you are. You are the ones who will live forever. You are the ones who will live through all eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. And since that's the case, since you will live forever, live for and love the one who will last. Don't love with passing away. Live for and love the one who will last. Let's pray. Gracious God.